RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Nisma. First, the headline. President Joko Widodo will attend OIC summit to discuss Jerusalem. Palestinian ambassador Zuhair Al-Shun deeply set by Donald Trump's decision on Jerusalem. And now the news in detail. Organization of Islamic Conference OIC will hold a meeting regarding the recognition of the President of the United States, Donald Trump, against Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, in the then BDF on Tuesday in South Tangerang, said that President Joko Widodo is scheduled to attend the meeting on December 13 in Istanbul, Turkey. She said in the meeting that Indonesia will reaffirm the standing of Indonesia's rejection of the U.S. recognition, as well as formulate the steps that can be done in response to the U.S. recognition. OIC will conduct summit on December 13, and with God's willing, President of the Republic of Indonesia will be there. I think what to say once again is an affirmation of our position, and we will talk to the OIC countries that we can do next. So we use whatever we do once more to deliver a very clear message. Minister Retno Marsudi further explained that she has built communication with various parties since the U.S. recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel is still in plan. In the communication built, the foreign minister said that the U.S. recognition of Jerusalem would have an international outrage, given that the U.S. decision has negated various U.N. Security Council resolutions related to the Palestinian conflict. Palestinian ambassador to Indonesia Zuhair Al-Shun said that he is deeply sad by the decision of the U.S. President Donald Trump on his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. On the sideline of the 10 Bali Democracy Forums in South Tangerang, Banten on Tuesday, Ambassador Zuhair said that President Donald Trump has violated the United Nations Security Council decision of 1967 and the international law. He further said that the United States has lost its position as a partner in the peace process between Palestine and Israel.
As we gather here today to celebrate democracy, to respect dialogue, earlier this morning, the President of the United States announced the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. We condemn this recognition. Democracy means respecting international law. The recognition does not respect various UN Security Council resolutions.
On the other hand, Ambassador Zuhair Al-Shun assumed that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is behind the Trump's decision. Zuhair views that due to Trump's misunderstanding on the Middle East and its territory and push Netanyahu, the decision was finally made. However, he expects that there will be rapid action from the international world to respond on the Trump's decision to make Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, especially from the Organization of Islamic Conference, OIC, which is going to hold a meeting. The other Arab countries should take immediate action against the decision that hurts the Palestinian people. Indonesia strongly condemned the U.S. recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. This was stated by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi following the announcement of U.S. President Donald Trump on his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. She made the statement in the opening of 10 Bali Democracy Forum BDF in South Tangerang, Banten Province.
Tadi kita bicara mengenai masalah hubungan kedua negara. Kita menerima informasi bahwa Madagaskar ingin meningkatkan hubungan dengan Indonesia dan merencanakan untuk membuka kedutaan besar Madagaskar di Indonesia pada waktu.
On the occasion, Minister Retno Marsudi, who specifically wore a Palestinian scarf, affirmed that the use of the scarf showed her support for the Palestinian and expressed the unity of Indonesia together with the Palestinian people in fighting for the rights of the Palestinian people. The U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, said that President Donald Trump continued to support the Palestinian and Israeli peace process through a two-state solution, although he formally announced that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel on 6 of December. The United States, through its ambassador in Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, said that he continued to support the Palestinian and Israeli peace process, although President Donald Trump has named Jerusalem the capital of Israel. This was conveyed by Ambassador Donovan when he met the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, on Tuesday afternoon, 7 of December 2017, on the sidelines of the 10 Bali Democracy Forum BDF in Serang, Banten. In front of media crews, Ambassador Donovan asserted that President Trump supports the peace process through a two-state solution framework, with a note that the deal is indeed a result of the agreement of both parties. He also added that Trump's presidential commitment is included in the statement submitted and published through the official website of the United States Embassy, on which Muslim, Christian, and Jewish still have the freedom to pray in Jerusalem, although he acknowledged that there is inaccuracy of the translation in the Indonesian version and cause a misunderstanding.
Tadi kita bicara mengenai masalah hubungan kedua negara.
We were talking about the relation between the two countries. We receive information that Madagascar wants to improve relation with Indonesia and plans to open the Madagascar embassy in the near future. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said at a meeting with the U.S. ambassador that she reiterated Indonesia's position on Trump's presidential decree, that Indonesia judged the decision to make Jerusalem as the capital of Israel is very dangerous to the peace process. In addition, Foreign Minister Retno also expected inaccurate translation of statement issued by the United States Embassy does not happen again, moreover, if it blurred the existing condition. Earlier, coinciding with the 10 BDF opening in Serang, Banten, President Donald Trump decided to acknowledge administratively Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which becomes the participant concern. They deplore Trump's decision and fear it will only hamper the ongoing peace process between Palestine and Israel. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia BI has launched a new regulation on financial technology or fintech. The regulation covers a requirement for fintech companies to register with the central bank and a ban on the use of digital currencies. BI Deputy Governor Sugeng said in Jakarta on Thursday that BI wants to strike a balance and to continue fintech development while avoiding any disruption on the economy. The regulation is set to go into effect on January 1, 2018, or 1 month after being signed on November 30. Bank Indonesia also issued regulation of members of BI Board of Governors, number 19-14 and 19-15. Sugeng further said that the regulation covers vintage criteria which include innovation, impact on the existing business model, effect on the wider public, scalability and usability. Other aspects being regulated are a requirement for fintech companies to register with Bank Indonesia. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fahrir officially closed the 10th Bali Democracy Forum in Banten on Tuesday night. In the chair's statement, he underlines the key points raised in the ministerial panel as well as general debate session covering basic prerequisites of democracy such as the sharing of power, election and active civil society and current democratic challenges such as terrorism and populism require intensive cooperation. The importance of home ground democracy, national consensus and external conducive to the development of democracy and inclusiveness as the key to the creation of social harmony and participation. In addition, the deputy also mentioned that factors such as security, equity, and social justice determine the progress of democracy. He views that economic progress is one of the results of democracy, such as a process that requires equipment and community unity. On the same occasion, he also highlighted ASEAN efforts as a regional organization in strengthening its democracy. ASEAN as regional organization is strengthening the norm of and commitment to democracy through its normative framework that may serve as benchmark to measure democracy. In the last 50 years, ASEAN has developed a culture of dialogue and maintain security in the region, which is also beneficial in deliberation of issues, including with ASEAN dialogue partners and various ASEAN center mechanisms. Furthermore, Deputy Minister A.M. Fahrir also stated that some countries criticized strongly the U.S. decision to move its embassy to Jerusalem. The move is seen as contrary to the UN Security Council's decision. At the closing session, the participant also heard report from representative of the Bali Civil Society and Media Forum, BCSMF, Andy Bayuni, and representative of the Bali Democracy Student Conference, Marina Kikrikluk from Ukraine, which is a parallel activity of BDF. The 10 BDF, which took place on 7 to 8 December 2017, is the ministerial annual meeting which has been held by Indonesia since 2008. The 10 BDF is also marked by a parallel Bali Democracy Student Conference which feature 150 students from 61 countries worldwide. BDSC aims to foster democracy among young people. The last item, Indonesian Transportation Ministry will impose a sanction against a pilot of budget carrier Lion Air who has tested positive for drugs. Ministry Air Transportation Director General Agus Santoso said that the sanction refers to the Civil Aviation Safety Regulation. In his written statement, he said on Tuesday that the pilot will be grounded starting from the arrest until the test results are published by the authorities. Earlier, the East Nusa Tenggara chapter of the National Narcotic Agency and Kupang Police on Monday apprehended a Lion Air pilot for using crystal meth in a hotel room. Agus also said that his office keeps monitoring drug cases and conduct REM checks ahead of Christmas and New Year's Eve. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo will attend OIC summit to discuss Jerusalem. Palestinian Ambassador Zuhair Al-Shun deeply said by Donald Trump's decision on Jerusalem. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary.
But the title of Commentary is Trump's statement creates not only controversy but also escalation of Arab-Israeli conflict. The Arab-Israeli conflict is heating up. The statement and the decision of President of United States Donald Trump to move his embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem sparked a political escalation, not only in Palestine but also in other countries. The Indonesian government officially regrets and criticizes the decision taken by the U.S. President Donald Trump. As a country that supports Palestine, Indonesia is deeply upset with Donald Trump's radical move. President Joko Widodo confirmed that strong reaction is not only from Indonesia but also from other organizations of Islamic countries, YC, including Malaysia. YC states agreed to Turkey's proposal to immediately hold a conference. Trump's move will certainly be the agenda of the upcoming YC leaders' talks. Donald Trump's statement and recognition have sparked escalation of violence. The demonstration in Gaza ends with riots. Similar actions occur in other areas. Friday can be one of the days that encourage widespread rejection and protest. In the United States of America itself, Trump's decision has caused controversy. Dialogue initiators, both from Muslim and Jewish community in the United States, strongly condemned Trump's move and regard it as a policy that accommodates only radical groups in the country. A number of politicians from the Democrats have threatened to impeach President Donald Trump. From the policy point of view, Donald Trump's recognition to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem for some Americans is considered as their mistake for a few times. However, President Donald Trump has taken a unilateral decision. The transfer of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is considered to disrupt efforts and peace measures that should be carried out well. The transfer of the embassy is regarded as the recognition of the United States that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. This is to hurt the hearts of Arabs and countries that support Palestine. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, we meet again in our daily program Today in History of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event which occurred on December 8, 1962, the Brunei Rebellion led by Yasin Afandi. The Brunei Rebellion broke out on December 8, 1962, led by Yasin Afandi and his armed rebels. The rebels began attack on the oil city of Syria, targeting Shell oil installations and attacking police posts and government facilities around the protectorates. This rebellion is regarded as one of the early stages of Indonesia-Malaysia confrontation. The result of the rebellion won by Commonwealth Britain. Now let's look. An event of Mark David Chapman shot John Lennon outside Dakota apartment in New York City on December 8, 1980. Mark David Chapman is an American citizen and he made famous for killing musician John Winston Lennon. Chapman underwent his childhood in Georgia and was one of fanatic fans of the Beatles since the band was firstly known. He started learning guitar and wanted to be a musician, but then he became a fundamentalist Christian and his views changed. He then believed that the Beatles are bad for many people, John Lennon in particular, because of Lennon's views on religion and state. When Lennon launched his song Imagine in 1971, many prominent figures did not like him. Chapman parodied the song with Imagine John Lennon Dead. On December 8, 1980, Chapman visited New York again to meet Lennon and Yoko Ono when they left home to go to the recording session. Lennon signed a double fantasy copy for Chapman and a photographer took a picture of the two men. Chapman waited until they returned. When Lennon entered his apartment building, Chapman pulled out the gun, called Lennon, then fired at him several times. Lennon falls and died on the way to the hospital due to blood losses. Listener, we conclude the segment of Today in History with a summit in Washington, D.C. between U.S. President Ronald Reagan and leader of the Soviet Union Mikhail Gorbachev to sign the Treaty on Nuclear Arms Reduction. The historical agreement limited the number of short and medium-range missiles. The two superpower countries have 2,611 short and medium-range missiles, which were most of them placed in Europe and Southeast Asia. The treaty was ratified by the U.S. Senate on 27 May 1988 and enacted on June 1, 1988. The treaty became an important step to the next agreement, namely the reduction of long-range missile that was signed in 1991. That was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus, entitled Indonesia Returned to be Chosen as Member of International Maritime Organization, IMO, for 2018-2019 period. Indonesia returned to elect as a member of International Maritime Organization, IMO, of C category for 2018-2019 period. Indonesia is ensured to become a member of IMO C category after a voting process of the 30th IMO session led by IMO Secretary General Kita Klim at IMO office in London on Friday, December 1st, 2017. The International Maritime Organization is a special institution of the United Nations, which was established in 1948. It is responsible for safety and security issues of shipping and prevention of marine pollution. IMO currently has 172 member countries and 3 associate members. IMO's motto is connecting ships, port and communities. Secretary of the Directorate General of Sea Transportation, Rudiana in Jakarta Monday, December 4, escorted by Antara, said that Indonesia became a member of the IMO Council of C category of 2018-2019 period with 132 votes and was ranked 8th of 24 IMO member states nominating in the C category of IMO Council. The C category IMO Council is a representative of countries with special interests in sea transport with equitable geographical distribution of representation. Rudiana explained, in this election, there are 172 voting countries with 159 valid votes and one vote declared invalid. In the C category, Singapore became the first country with 142 votes. The Indonesian Special Representative for IMO, Rear Admiral Marsetio, in Jakarta on Monday, December 4, proud of Indonesia's re-election to become a member of IMO Council Category C for the 2018-2019 period. Marsetio asserted, the achievement is not separated from the diplomatic struggle of IMO member countries, in addition to the ratification of rules and various protocols imposed by IMO. This is evidence of Indonesia's consistency and support in the various policies set by IMO. Marsetio said, Indonesia's future challenge is to implement all IMO resolutions that have been enacted and international cooperation. According to Marsetio, the current IMO work plan holds an on-top COP21 Paris, which focuses on the goal of sustainable development. Marsetio believes IMO benefits for Indonesia is very strategic because Indonesia has a high bargaining position and an important function and strategic in many respects in the field of sea transportation. Even more, Indonesia also determined the direction and policy of drafting the international maritime rules that also affected toward the national maritime policy. On the other hand, by becoming a member of IMO, Indonesia always followed the development of business as well as shipping law in the international world.
Here is our news in brief. Organization of Islamic Conference OIC will hold a meeting regarding the recognition of the President of the United States, Donald Trump, against Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Palestinian ambassador to Indonesia, Zuhair Al-Shun, said that he is deeply sad by the decision of the U.S. President Donald Trump on his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Indonesia strongly condemned the U.S. recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. The U.S. ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, said that President Donald Trump continues to support the Palestinian and Israeli peace process through a two-state solution. Bank Indonesia, or BI, has launched a new regulation on financial technology, or fintech. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, A.M. Fahrir, officially closed the 10th Bali Democracy Forum in Banten on Thursday night. And the last item, Indonesian Transportation Ministry will impose a sanction against a pilot of budget carrier Lion Air who has tested positive for drugs. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello Hello, listener. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Stay tuned. Listener, Kulon Progo is a regency in Yogyakarta. It is located 29 kilometers on the west of Yogyakarta. The regency is often visited by tourists because it has a complete tourism attraction from mountain to the beach tourism objects. In addition, an access road to Kulon Progo is also quite good. Transportation and hotel are also available. When traveling to Kulon Progo, many tourists tend to visit Kalibiru. Located at an altitude of 450 meters above sea level, Kalibiru offers green Manore Hill views and Sermo Reservoir. Has many interesting objects, especially for those who love water tourism. During traveling to Kulon Progo, you can enjoy the freshness of Mudal River Park water. It is located in Banyu Ganti, Jatimulyo, Girimulyo sub-district. From downtown of Yogyakarta, it is about 33 kilometers. The admission price is quite affordable, which is only 6,000 per person, while for two-wheel vehicle is only 2,000 rupiah and 5,000 for car. The tourism object is not too far away. You just walk a few meters from the parking area and immediately greeted by a bamboo bridge and a very clear river. Mudal is a spring that emitting from the depth of the cave in Girimulyo area, Kulon Progo Regency. The water sources emit the water throughout the year to provide clean water for the local people. The stream of clear water also overflows into the river stream and waterfalls. By the local community, the 600 meters of Mudal River is recovered then managed to become a Mudal tourism park object. Listener, entering the tourism area of Mudal River Park, you will be served by a panorama of terrace waterfall. The shape of the water flow is varied and the water is clear. Around the place, there are many small waterfalls and natural pools around it. You can swim in these natural pools to enjoy the freshness of Mudal River water. There are also various types of ornamental gardens, especially orchids. Uniquely, anyone can donate the seeds or plants or flowers to beautify the river garden through the program Trees of Hope, a planting cultivation program conducted in Mudal River Park as an effort to preserve the environment. In addition, you can also see the source of springs located in a halfway. But you cannot enter the hall because there is no access road to the place. Mudal River Park is also equipped with public facilities such as bathrooms, gazebos for taking a rest and food stalls. There are also flying fox games and camping ground area in this tourism area. listener. That was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Modal River Tourism Park in Yogyakarta. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Very World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in our miscellany for today. Listener, Muslims in Indonesia celebrate two times of Lebaran or feast, Idul Fitri and Idul Adha. Idul Fitri is more familiar with common feasts, while Idul Adha is frequently called as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. These two feasts are celebrated cheerfully in Indonesia. In this occasion, miscellany focuses on the unique activity on celebration of Idul Adha, or usually people call it as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. Today, Friday, September 1st, 2017, coincides with the 10th of Dzulhijjah, 1438, according to the Islamic calendar. Muslims in Indonesia celebrate the Feast of Idul Adha or Feast of the Hajj. Idul Adha is given the name of the Hajj because Muslims are performing the pilgrimage in the Holy Land of Mecca. Idul Adha celebration is different from the Feast of Idul Fitri because the Feast of Idul Adha is celebrated by means of slaughtering sacrificial animals. That's why the Feast of Idul Adha is also called the Sacrifice Feast. The essence of Idul Adha celebrations in all regions, especially in Indonesia, is actually the same: slaughtering sacrificial animals such as cow, goats, sheep, or camels. Then the meat of the sacrificed animals is distributed to people who are considered to poor and needy people. However, in addition to animal slaughter, there are some areas in Indonesia that have a unique way to commemorate the Idul Adha, such as Osing or Using tribe in Banyuwangi, East Java. Banyuwangi native residents carried out Mepe Kasur, or sunning mattress, that was held before the feast of Idul Adha comes. Uniquely, the process of sunning the mattress is performing simultaneously since the morning in front of each home. Occasionally, the mothers will flip and punch with a toolbar or broomstick to re-clean together so as to create a rhythm that is believed to resist the outbreak of the disease. Uniquely again, Osing tribe mattress is all red and black, called Gembil mattress. For local residents, the color of the mattress Gembil has its own meaning, namely, black color symbolizing a lasting relationship and red means spray. Listener, different locations have different customs. Such proverb strongly illustrates the diversity of traditions in this republic. If Mepe Kasur Osing tribe in Banyuwangi's Java is done before Hajj, Kaul and Abdau from Tuluhe community in central Maluku will be held a free Idul Adha prayer finish. Kaul procession is a sacrificial animal ceremony inspired from the story of the sacrifice of Abraham. At the ceremony of Kaul in Tulehu, the goats to be slaughtered are carried by the customs and religious leaders to be paraded around with zikr and salawat to the Tulehu State Mosque. In this mosque, the goat slaughter ceremony is held. Meanwhile, Abda'u is a customary ritual followed by hundreds of Tulehu youths. This activity is similar to Grebek traditions in Solo in Yogyakarta. The difference is on the object being contested. If Grebek in Solo and Jogja fights over the produce of earth such as long beans, tomatoes, and others, Abda'u fights over the flag tied on a bamboo stick on 2 meter high. The procession of this battle will take place while traveling and will end at Tulehu State Mosque. Communities in Sambas Regency, West Kalimantan Province still continue to maintain the traditions of hospitality by visiting their fellow citizens not only during Idul Fitr or Lebaran Day, but also in Idul Adha. The celebration of Feast of the Hajj lasts until a week later. The uniqueness of the community in celebrating the feast is that every citizen must serve a layer cake. The layer cake, which becomes a character of Sambas, is a layer of peanut and milk cake. That was Miscellany for today's edition with the topic Enjoy the Variety Tradition of Idul Adha in Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. We will meet again in the next Miscellany. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back with me, Nuka, in Music Corner. In today's edition, we'll present to you Sundanese pop songs. Sundanese is an ethnic language used by almost people in West Java province and in the western part of Central Java. Stay with us, listener, in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen through shortwave on 9525 kHz, live streaming of English.RRIWorldService.com or our mobile application RRI Play through and RRI World Service on your smartphone. As the opening of this segment, let's listen to a song entitled Kalangkang by Nining Meida. listener, Kalangkang means shadow in Sundanese. This song was composed by Nano S and it describes a feeling of a man to a woman had he admired. But it was only a dream and hope. Nining Meida is known as a Sundanese pop singer and she sang a lot of Nano S song, such as Potret Manehna and Rang Rang Panyawangan. Kalangkang is also chosen to be the title of Nining Meida's Sundanese pop album released in 1988. The album was sold for 1 million copies, a number hardly achieved by traditional songs in Indonesia. Originally, Kalangkang was made as a Degung version. With the suggestions by the composer himself, Nano S, the song is Kalangkang album were made in Sundanese pop. The album was crowned with HDX and BASF awards, and it raised the popularity of Sundanese songs nationally. It can be said that Kalangkang is the start line of the popularity of Sundanese pop songs in Indonesia. Kalangkang once became the song to be always performed in wedding ceremonies, and it was the most played in radio stations with Sundanese pop songs. Well, listener, next we'll play you for a Sundanese pop song sung by Hetty Koes Endang entitled Cinta. Stay tuned.
Oh,
Listener, just like the title, the song composed by Nano S described everything about love. Love could bring happiness to people with all the beauty, but love could bring sadness whenever it's disappearing. The phenomenal success made by Nining Meidau through her album Kalangkang made other musicians, including Musica Studios, arrange their artists to record Sundanese pop songs like Hetty Koes Endang. Known as a multi-talented singer, Hetty Koes Endang grabbed the opportunity and did it well. Cinta album opened the door for the success she made in the Sundanese pop genre. Lagu Cinta was an easy listening and soothing song, although it could only be completely understood by the Sundanese-speaking people. But the song could also be enjoyed and followed by the all music lovers in Indonesia. The success of Lagu Cinta in the market established Hetty Koes Endang's name as a multi-genre singer who was almost successful in every album she released. Listener, to wrap up today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Hetty Koes Endang. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.